into the Yom HaDin. So the Mishnah says here, on the top of Daf, Lamed Daled Amud Beis, Rabbi Yishmael Omer. Okay, so this Mishnah actually is the first Mishnah that deals with the Daled Minim as a whole. So we had one Mishnah for the Lulav, we had a Mishnah for the Arava, we had a Mishnah for Adasim, later on we're going to have a Mishnah for the Esrog, the second half of this Mishnah will also touch on the Esrog. But now we're talking about the general requirement and the laws that apply to all four Minim. And the Mishnah actually quotes three Tanoim. There's a double Machlokas here in this Mishnah. So I'm just saying by way of introduction, and one Machlokas is going to be about the Daled Minim in general, and the other Machlokas is going to hone in on the Hadassim, in which case we're going to have to take up the Hadassim as a separate entity. We thought in the previous Mishnah we finished Hadassim, but apparently not. The Mishnah comes up with another element in the equation as far as Hadassim is concerned. So we're very familiar with the statement of Rabbi Yishmael, that's our minog. Shlosha Hadassim, the Gemara is going to derive from Psukim that you need three Hadassim. Shtei Arabos, you need two Arabos. Lulav Echad, only one Lulav. The Esrog Echad, and only one Esrog. So Rashi says at the very beginning, the Gemara Yolifla, the Gemara is going to derive this from Suki. Now there's going to be a long discussion here about the possibility of adding. You know, is this the minimum shear? You know, you require three Adasim, but you could always add more? Or is it the maximum shear as well, and we only want three and not more? And the reason why we would be inclined, perhaps, to say three and not more is because of the Isser Bal Tosef. And this is where we're going to get into a whole issue. Bal Tosef really divides up into two categories. One category is where I change the mitzvah by adding to it. Another is where I do the mitzvah many times over. Like, for example, let's say the Kohanim would be Mavarech, and then they want to be Mavarech a second time around. That's not Bal Tosef. Bal Tosef doesn't mean repeating the mitzvah. And basically, if you add any of the four minim, you're not really changing the mitzvah as much as you're adding another mitzvah, another round of the mitzvah. But in any event, this is going to be a major issue. I'm just mentioning it at the outset. Let's assume, for argument's sake, that Rabbi Shmuel is establishing the minimum shear, how many of each min we need, and the Gemara is going to derive that from Sukkah. Then Rabbi Shmuel hones in on the Hadas, and he has something to say about the Hadas, which is quite surprising to us. He's just established that we need three Hadasim, and you and I would have assumed that the din of all three Hadasim is Shavah B'Shavah, it's a uniform halacha. Whatever requirements you have in Hadasim, they should apply to all three Hadasim. We've never found that you could take, you know, one min and split it up into its component parts with different dinim and different requirements applying to one part of the min and another. But yet he says the following: Afilu shnayim ketuvim. Even if two out of the three hadasim are, as I call it, headless, the echad eino katuv, but the third or one of the three will say is shalem. It's complete. That's enough. Rashi vafilu shnayim ketuvim hadasim kore. He's referring to the hadasim because the number is three, and the number three is only applicable to hadasim. Ubigemara parich. This is very unusual. Rashi wants to point out that we really don't understand this mission of Rabbi Yishmael, because the Gemara is going to raise mimanavshach. It's impossible. Ikatum posul, if the Torah requires hadar, let's say, as we've discussed on many occasions, and pre-ates hadar as a requirement not only in Esrog, but in all four minim, including the Adasim, and Katum, we said was posul in Esrog and Lulav, in Arava. Now you're telling me that it's posul even in Hadasim. So Hadas Katum is posul. No, if that be the case, who tzarech shlosha? He needs three adasim, which means he needs presumably three adasim ksherim. Is libay, we should require kulu shlemim, that all three of them should have their heads on. If on the other hand, the katum kosher if he's saying that, you know, let's drop the requirement of Hadar with regard to the Hadas. It's a specific requirement in Esro, because there the Torah says explicitly pre-Eitz Hadar, but not in Hadassim. He doesn't equate Hadassim with Esro. Is then lahachshir shloshtam ketumim? Why don't go the whole 9 yards and assume that even if all 3 hadasim are ketumim, that should be enough? The Gemara doesn't tolerate this business where we say, well, 2 out of the 3 yes and 1 out of 3 no. I mean, it always occurred to me that maybe if 2 out of 3 would have to be shleimim, maybe we would say rov or something like that. Although even that would be very difficult. But here he's saying 1 out of the 3. Is Shalim, 2 out of the 3 are Khatum, are Ketumim. And the Gemara says, Umeshani, the Gemara answers, Chazar bar Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel actually backtracks. He rescinds his original position, Mitchilas Dvaro, Shayim Matsuk Shlosha. Initially, he would have assumed that you need 3 Hadassim. That was his opening statement. And if you need 3 Hadassim, then either all of them have to be Shleimim or all of them could be Ketumim. But you can't split it down the middle. And in his original position, he held that you need 3 v'echa v'omar afilu shnayim ketumim, and 2 out of the 3 could be ketumim, which is again an untenable position. It's not logically consistent. For hu adin ilo maisi le legamri. In fact, the 2 ketumim are nothing. They don't add anything or subtract anything. Why? Because at this point, Rabbi Shmuel holds you don't need 3 hadasim. All you need is 1 hadas. We'll soon see in the Mishnah that's Rabbi Akiva's position, that all you need is 1 hadas. That would be great for us if you only need 1 hadas. Even though our friend Rabbi Chaim, who came here, he would say, I don't even think you'll find 1 hadas. But maybe there's a greater chance. Maybe there's a possibility that you'll find 1 hadas. Dok tumen kemando lesnu dom. And Rashi says that if the head is chopped off, then that's considered less nudom. It's as if he didn't take hadas. So at the end of the day, if he has 3 hadasim and 2 of them are ketumim, how many hadasim does he really have? Only 1. But that's the ultimate position of Rabbi Shmuel, that all you need is 1 hadas. In that sense, Rabbi Shmuel agrees with Rabbi Akiva, who's going to show up at the end of the mission, and all you need is 1 hadas.
So if you have 2 more without a head, these 2 are not making it hadar. Why have them at all?
Excellent question. So it seems like an exercise in futility.
Yeah.
And not only that, Rabbi Shmuel, when Adam is waiting to tell you in the Mishnah that 2 out of the 3 hadasim that he took are ketumim.
Yeah.
And Rashi says, kibad the less nudom. So there are 1 or 2 possible answers that I can think of. One answer is that there was a havamina of Rabbi Shmuel. We're talking about Rabbi Shmuel, right? Yeah. There was a havamina in Rabbi Shmuel that you need 3 hadasim. That the minimum number is 3, but you only need 1 that's shalim. Again, even though the Gemara doesn't, at least Rashi doesn't give us any explanation as to why, but somehow this position made sense to Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel ultimately rescinded his position, and that doesn't appear in the Mishnah. Very strange. Again, this is my first approach. So my first approach is to say that for some reason, maybe historical reasons, technical reasons, Rabbi Shmuel's ultimate opinion is not mentioned in the Mishnah. The Mishnah instead presents Rabbi Shmuel's original opinion. That, despite the fact that the Gemara makes no sense out of Rabbi Shmuel's original opinion. Because if you require 3 hadasim, then all 3 have to be shleimim. How could 1 of them be shleimim and 2 are ketumim? And that question really was so compelling that Rabbi Shmuel, rejected his original position, but you don't know why he held that there was a logical possibility in the first position. I don't know. The other possibility, David, would be to say the following, that Enoch Hinami, this Mishnah reflects the ultimate position of Rabbi Shmuel. But then you'll ask me, so why did Rabbi Shmuel bother taking 2 and 3, the second and the third hadasim, which are ketumim, which is kemando lesedami, and admittedly he's yotzei the mitzvah because he has 1 hadas that's eno katu. So I thought that the answer might be zekeli v'anvei. And here we're touching on a problem, I mentioned it in the noon shir on Thursday, I don't know if you were there, about the possibility of adding hadasim l'shem noi, to beautify the hadasim, if they are Shotim, Hadassim Shotim. And this is going to be a major machlokas between the Gaonim and the Ravid, but the Ravid's position is the more the merrier. Even though the hadasim that you're adding beyond the three are, each one is hadas shota, but still, it's not considered something extraneous, it's still a hadas, and it beautifies the mitzvah. So I'm thinking to myself that maybe we could apply the Ravid's logic in Rabbi Yishmael's Havamin, his original position, which seems to be reflected in the Mishnah, that maybe hadasim, on the one hand, all I need is one hadas. The extra two that he's mentioning here are only l'shem noi. And the chiddush here is that even though they're ketumim, they still add noi, and they're still considered hadasim, and it doesn't violate the prohibition of bal tosaf. Now, why, according to this chat, it's difficult, why he mentions two ketumim? I mean, why couldn't he mention one hadas ketumim, or 50 hadasim ketumim? Why do you have to mention two? So maybe the Havamir was that already if you have such a bulk, a majority of ketumim, maybe we're afraid that next year he'll take a ketum, or maybe the two ketumim should somehow cancel out the one that's shalim. I don't know. So again, just two mahalchim here in understanding why Rabbi Shmuel has this whole discussion about two hadasim out of the three are ketumim, when Rashi says, kimad olesa domi, is it that this Mishnah reflects Rabbi Shmuel's original position before he changed his mind? Or the extra two ketumim with el shem noi, and kamash malon, that even though they are ketumim, they still could be added to your set of lulav. Rabbi Tarfa, now we get to the second Tana in the Mishnah. Until now we've been dealing with Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Tarfa Omer, afilu shloshnon ketumim. Okay, this is at least consistent. On the one hand, Rabbi Tarfon agrees with Rabbi Shmuel's original position that we require three hadasim. On the other hand, he doesn't require hadar with regard to hadasim. And that Rashi says explicitly, you see the last Rashi before Gemara, Rabbi Tarfon Omer afilu shloshnon ketumim delo boi hadar bahadas. Now the strange thing here is the word bahadas, and for that matter, I wouldn't blame Rashi for this, but the Mishnah itself, Rabbi Tarfon, sounds like he's dropping the requirement of Hadar with regard to what? Hadas. But what about Lulavim? What about Aravos? Now, this is very odd, to be frank with you, to tell me that all four minim, except for one, meaning three out of four, require Hadar. Because if you remember, we had a fundamental issue. That was Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim regarding Yavesh. And the lulav hayavish according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Brisa says, is kosher because he doesn't have the equation. Because hekesh Rashi says you have to receive a hekesh from your rebbeim. It has to be part of the mesoros. Rabbi Yehuda never had the mesoros. Chachamim had the mesoros. Now, if Chachamim had the mesoros, then the word hadar for all intents and purposes is written with regard to all four minim. Now comes along Rabbi Tarfon and he takes hadas out of the equation. He says, well, I'm not sure this is right, but I'm going to say that according to Rabbi Tarfon, I accept the equation, and Hadar applies way beyond the confines of Esrog, but not with regard to Hadas. So again, I'm going to take a very, very weak stab at this. You know, admittedly up front, you know, as they say in Hebrew, Erevon Mugbal, with limited liability. Perhaps what Rabbi Tarfon says is the following. That what we find with regard to the hadas, that we don't find with regard to the lulav or the arava, is that the Torah itself defines the hadar element. Let me explain what I mean. Hadas is defined as avos. Do you remember that avos means that the leaves climb up on the stem and they sort of like overlap one on top of the other? And I'm just wondering if maybe Rabbi Tarfon's logic is, in the case of lulav, in the case of arava, the Torah only defines the min. It doesn't add some sort of beautification to the min. You know, it's kapos farim, if it's arvei nachal, the Torah tells you how to identify the min, it grows near the riverbanks, or it's a date tree, and so forth. Here, what's unique about the case of hadas is the Torah not only defines the min, but it also describes the hadas by calling it avos. And that already gives it the hadar. In other words, the Torah is answering In other words, the Torah fundamentally is saying all four minim, like the Esrog, which is the paradigm, require Hadar. But in the case of Hadas, the Torah says, I'm going to answer the question, what makes the Hadas into a Hadar? And if anything beyond that would not be within the purview of the requirement of Hadar. So for example, if it's Katun, the head was chopped off, that's not Hadar. You wouldn't say that's a beautiful Hadas. But if I still have Avos, then I fulfill the requirement of Hadar with regard to the Hadas. Again, I don't know if it makes any sense. But
I asked that rabbi specifically, what happens if the leaves are not Avos? And he didn't seem to think that was a problem. Which is strange if the Torah actually says that.
Yeah, I don't know what he meant by that. I wasn't privy to that discussion, but we can open up Shulchan Aruch, and I'm pretty sure it says that you require Avos there. I mean, actually, the whole psul of a Shota, of Adas Shota, I think is derived from the Pasuk Avos. Meaning if you have two coming out of one Oketz and one slightly below.
That for sure he said. But I'm talking about the leaves actually, because many of the Hadassim, probably a lot of it is covered, but a lot of it is, some of it is not covered. But he didn't seem to think.
Right. Maybe he was saying that you could be mitzarif the top to the bottom in order to get robe. I don't know. I'm not sure.
He said that about the three.
Right.
If you've got the majority of the three,
But Michael, what I want to know, you know, there are two issues here. Number one, what I call a more general issue. Number two, a more specific issue. The first issue is, when the Torah says Avos, does that tell you something about the min? I don't think so. And therefore,
describes them.
And could it be possible that describing the min is, this is Berzon's making a leap of faith here. Again, I never try to impose my will on you, but maybe the description of Avos is really telling you something about the beauty of the Hadas. And then Rabbi Tarfon is saying, well, you know what? If the Torah specifies in this min, what the beauty what is the beauty element? Maybe that tells them something about Kotu, meaning that we're not bothered by Kotu. Because why would the Torah single out one? Again, you could be many answers to this question, but Rabbi Tarfon's answer to this question is why the Torah to single out the beauty of the Hadas in terms of Avos. What about the beauty of Hadas in its Shlemus? Like, why did the Torah mention that? You know, it's kind of funny. Again, there may be many answers to this question. The Torah didn't feel it necessary to tell you that, and so forth and so on, but I'm just taking a stab at it. I find this very, very odd. You know, the question is a lot better than the answer. How could it be that, and Rashi seems to indicate this, that Rabbi Tarfon drops the requirement of Hadar with regard to the Hadas? You know, in a certain sense, if you would ask me which of the four minim is my favorite, okay, the Esrog is unbeatable. But beyond the Esrog, I think the Hadas were quite beautiful. Why drop the requirement of Hadas and give me a headless Hadas? So again, as I said, there are two issues that this mission is addressing. The first issue is how many of each min do I have to take? Okay. And there we presented Rabbi Shmuel's original opinion that you need three Hadassim. Rashi points out that Rabbi Shmuel himself retracted that position and he only requires one Hadass. We're going to see again Rabbi Akiva. Let's just read Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva Omer Kishem Shalulav Echad, the Esrog Echad. Just like in the case of the Lulav and the Esrog, the Torah only requires one. Kach Hadass Echad V'arava Achas. So, according to Rabbi Akiva, there's an absolute equation between all four minim as far as the requirement of numbers are concerned. Again, we're going to have to see how Rabbi Akiva deals with the psukim. Like, for example, in the case of Arava, the Torah specifically uses the plural, Arve Nocha. Okay, so that we have to see in the Gemara. But Rabbi Akiva's last statement in the Mishnah goes back to the original issue that the Mishnah addressed, namely, how many of each min do I have to take? In the middle of this Mishnah, the Mishnah goes off on a slightly different tangent, addressing the question of Hadar in Hadas. Does Hadas require Hadar? And the Nafka Mishnah is going to be where the Ketumim are apostles. So Rabbi Tarfon on the one hand holds that you need three Hadasim, but on the other hand he drops the requirement of Hadar with regard to Hadasim, and all three Hadasim are Ketumim. Which would have been a very consistent opinion had Rabbi Shmuel expressed that opinion. And that was the Mimon of Shalt that Rashi formulated here. That if Rabbi Shmuel would have said exactly what Rabbi Tarfon said, that Eino Chinami, we need three Hadassim, and it's a minimum requirement of three, but they could be, they don't have to be, Hadar, they could even be what? Ketuvim. That would be consistent. Okay, there's no requirement of Hadar in Hadassim. But the strange thing, that's what Rashi points out, is Rabbi Shmuel says, well, two out of the three Hadassim don't have to be Hadar, they could be Ketumim, but one out of the three has to be a Shalem, it has to be Hadar. That didn't make any sense. Then Rabbi Shmuel rescinded his original position, and now he's presenting the final opinion that all you need is one Hadass. The other two are really command the lesser Domi, Rashi says, they're non-existent, because they're Ketumim. And it's fascinating because once you lower the requirement, what is this called? I think an inverse relationship. I forget what it's called in English, but there seems to be, well, maybe it's called a converse relationship, whatever it's called, that if you reduce the number of Hadassim from 3 to 1, then you raise the requirements and the standards of Hadass. You know, you could have said the exact opposite. If you're lowering the standards of Hadass, the requirement of 3 down to 1, then maybe you should lower it even as far as Hadar is concerned. And it seems to work in just the opposite direction. I should qualify what I'm saying. I'm talking about Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva. I'm talking about Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, not Rabbi Tarfon. But No. My mistake. I'm talking about everybody. Everybody fits this pattern. Okay, let me clarify this. We have here Rabbi Shmuel and his maskana as far as the number of Hadassim required, which is equal to Rabbi Akiva, and the answer is 1. But both Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva will now raise the ante on that one single Hadass. And it's got to be Shalom, it can't be Kot. Then we have Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon is raising the bar in terms of number, but lowering the bar in terms of quality, if you follow what I mean. So it's like quantity and quality, kamos and acres. As soon as you lower the bar, as far as kamos is concerned, meaning kama, how many you need, so you go from 3 down to 1, you raise the requirement as far as the quality is concerned. So therefore, both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, by lowering the bar on the number from 3 down to 1, they raise the bar as far as what kind of hadas is kosher, and therefore they need a shalom. Then we have Rabbi Tarfon, correct? Rabbi Tarfon's opinion is, no, I'm going to raise the bar as far as the number, the quantity is concerned, I'm going to require 3, but I'm going to drop the requirement of hadar, lower the quality, and 3 ketuvim are kosher. Okay, I'm excited about this because at least I have a, you know, I don't have a svara, but at least I get the mechanics down. All right, so let's go through the braisa. Tanya, we learned in the braisa, Rabbi Shmuel Omer pre eitz hadar. So Rabosai, is it singular or plural? Pre is a singular because the plural is peros. Echad. So all you need is one esro. Oh, now I'm going to fake you out here. Kapos tmarv. Is that singular or plural?
Plural.
Oh, plural, right? That's what I thought. And then he says echad. Oh, but it's chaser vav. This is what's called yesh em l'misora. Meaning we have a misora that the word kapos is written without a vav. And even though we read it yesh em l'mikra with a vav, but we also at the same time have to be committed to the primary teaching of drasha is going to be yesh em lemesoris, and mesoris is that we drop the vav, even though we read it with vav, but we drop the vav. And once we drop the vav, then we read it as kapas tomorrow, which is in the singular. Okay, now we get to the hadas. This is a real tricky one, right? Anaf eitz avos. Okay, what does that mean? Are we talking about 1, 2, 3? What are we talking about? Well, let me ask you a question. Is this in the singular or the plural? Anaf is singular, right? Because if you want to write it in plural, it would be anafim. anafim. So where do we get the number three, shlosha, which again is the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael? Later on, Rabbi Yishmael changes his mind, but right now Rabbi Yishmael maintains, which is going to be also Rabbi Tarfon's opinion of Maskana, that you need three hadasim. Where does it say three hadasim here in this pasuk? Let's look at Rashi. Rashi says, kapas tamarim echad, mashba the kapas ksiv. So the ksiv is kapas without the vav. Anaf. Rashi says, chad. Eitz, chad. Avos, chad. Basically, what's Rashi doing here?
One three times.
But he's counting words. In other words, this is a whole different. This diverges from our policy here. Until now, our policy is the Torah using the plural or the singular? So we had in the case of luav that the word kapas means singular. In the case of esrog, it says pri, which is singular. We would have applied that principle to anaf, which is singular. We would have required one hadas. And maybe indeed there is such a shita, and that's going to be Rabbi Shmuel Maskana and Rabbi Akiva. However, Rabbi Shmuel's Halavino, which is Rabbi Tarfon's Maskana, is that we're not looking at the singular versus the plural, but rather we're counting words. So I have a note here in the Masifta as to why we're counting words.
How come Kapos Tamarim doesn't mean you take too little of it?
Because the Torah went out of its way to tell you kapas tomorrow. But Michael, let me hold on to your question for just 60 seconds, okay? 60 seconds. Why are we counting anaf eitz avos? Why are we counting words? Why not count singular? Singular anaf is in singular. So I have a footnote here, which I think Michael will touch on your question as well. And he says, why does the Braisa come up with the number three in the case of adas of anaf eitz avos? And he says, because the Torah could have had the word avos. And the two words of anaf and eitz are totally superfluous. Again, this has to be studied very carefully. I'm just reading you what he says. And I think that maybe that's what Tosfos says over here. You see Tosfos anaf, eitz, avos, shlosha? So I'm just going to skip the part that's not so relevant for us, but v'im tomar, in the last 2.5 lines, he says, v'neima, why not say pre-eitz hadar shlosha? Yeah. Or as Michael asked, why not say kapas tvarim shnayim, right? You should be two lulavim and three esrogim. I mean, that would be great if you're in the esrog business. Imagine everybody has to buy three esrogim, right? V'yesh lomar, demi darsha, wait, let me just get that right. De midrasha, midrasha. Okay, now I got it right. Midrasha, de midrasha, de eitz, darshinan, shetam eitzo upirio shavin. Now, watch what Tosfos is saying. In the case of pre-eitz hadar, Tosfos is saying, I need the word eitz. Why do I need the word eitz? So the Gemara later on, we didn't get to the sugya yet, is going to say that what's unique about the esrog is that tam ha eitz kitama pri. Okay, we don't know what that means, but Tosfos, the main thrust of what Tosfos is saying here is that there's nothing superfluous in the phrase pre-eitz hadar. Again, hadar is going to teach me this bombastic halacha of hadar, which is very unique to the Dalminim. It maybe applies to all Dalminim. And we have pre, which is really was really critical. And then the eitz is telling me that that which pre is it? There are many peros out there. It's the pre which you can single out because it's tam ha pre kitama eitz. That's called pre eitz.
Is that actually true?
I don't know. That's again, as I said, that's a sugya Baruch Hashem we didn't get to yet. But what's important here is the following: that Tosfos' principle is that at what point do you shift from plural singular to counting words? It's when the words are superfluous. Meaning, if I can justify the need for all the words in the Torah, then my criterion is going to be plural versus singular. So for example, pre-eitz hadar Tosfos says I need all three words. So the three words are not telling me the number, namely three esrogim, which would be a boon for the esrog business. No. But rather, I'm going to see the word pre and focus on the singular pre, and therefore I only need one. In a case of anaf eitz avos, because the Torah has already described that I need a branch of a tree, all I need is avos, and avos would identify the hadas. If avos would identify the hadas, now I ask myself the question, it says anaf eitz, and then it says avos. So how do I justify the extra words? When the words are superfluous, it's called yitur dekra, then I count words. Now we get back to Michael's question. What about kapos tomorrow? So I'm going to suggest the following. That we need the word kapos, and we need the word tomorrow. Tomorrow is going to substitute for the word eitz, and it's going to tell me what kind of tree we're dealing with. It's a tree that grows dates, a date palm tree. Kapos is going to tell me that the leaves of the branch are critical. And if you recall, we spoke about the fact that they have to be smack up against the lulav. In fact, it's either actual or potential. That's machlokes of Yudin Chacham. Rabbi Yehuda is going to say, as soon as the leaves start spreading out, that's called mispardu olav, is kafus, means that you have to tie it together. And according to the Chachamim, if the leaves finally separate, then it's possible because that's not called kafus. Again, the thesis is the following. When you're counting numbers, do you count singular versus plural, or do you count the number of words? If the words are superfluous, and the Torah could have cut it down, truncated, the extra words are coming to tell me how many of that min do you have to take. That's going to be the case of anaf eitz avos, which means you need three adasim, and that's going to reflect the shita of Rabbi Shmuel and the Havamina and Rabbi Tarfel and Maskon. If, on the other hand, in the case of kapos tomorrow, or pre eitz adar, I do need all these words, meaning the words are justified unto themselves, then I go back to my original pattern, which is what? Singular versus plural. Pre and kapos without the vav, which is singular. Now it's interesting that Tosis only raised this question with regard to the Esra, pre eitz hadar. He had no problem with anaf eitz avos, meaning he understood very well that avos is the key of keys, and there's no need to have anaf eitz. And he probably understood, in Michael's frame of reference, that kapos tomorrow was also both words and needed, so it's not telling you the number of two. But he had a problem with pre eitz hadar, because he thought that the Torah just could have said pre. And eitz hadar is extra. Or at least the Torah could have said pre hadar. So maybe the extra word eitz would tell me that I need two esrogim instead of three esrogim. So he says, no, I need the word eitz, because eitz is going to tell me exactly what constitutes, which pre in all the fruits that we have constitute an esrog, and the answer is it's a pre-eitz. And tamba peri ki tamba eitz.
In describing the hadasim, is the word avos, does that mean branches? What does the word avos mean?
I think the word avos means overlap. Overlap, avos. It's kind of like when you weave something, it goes down and up. Do you know what I'm talking about? So that's called...
So of all plants...
What would be the word for that in English? I think overlap, or embroidered, or I don't know what word. Yeah.
But in the world of plants...
Plated, maybe?
The hadas is the only one that fits that description. So,
right.
So that we know from that one word that it's the hadas, not any other kind of plant.
Correct.
I see.
Now, in the case of lulav, we have something very similar, but not exactly the same. And that is that the olim, the top of the ol, has to reach the bottom of the next level of the ol. But that's not called avos. And if you look at a lulav, you'll see something a lot different than when you look at a hadas. Okay, now we're up to the arava, correct?
Okay.
Now, what would you say about the arava? Is that singular versus plural, or are we counting words? I lost the place here for a second. Oh, Arve Nachal, Rabosai. Any extra words there? Arve Nachal?
Counting words, or Arve is plural.
No, I'm just saying, first I want to know whether or not we should apply the principle of plural versus singular.
We say that in fact it doesn't have to be Nachal. There are Arovas, so Nachal maybe is...
Right, but it has to be, you remember that we excluded the Tzavtzafah.
Okay.
Because it's not called Arve Nachal.
Okay. But it doesn't have to be next to the Nachal.
Correct, but I'm just saying, if not for the Posek Arvei Nachal, we would never have excluded Tzavtzafah.
Right.
So I'm just pointing out here that the method of superfluous words, truth is, everything I'm telling you is completely superfluous and unnecessary, because even if you count words, you'd still end up with the same number, two. But the Gemara seems to apply And Rashi says that Arve is the Lashon Rabin, that the Lashon Rabin means that the minimum number of Rabin is always two. So in the case of Hadassim, we're going to jack it up from two to three because we have three words in the Pasuk. But in the case of Arve Nachal, we're going to leave it as two.
Because they can't be as many as the Hadassim.
That's what you think, Michael?
That's what I heard. That's why you only have two. Because Arve could be...
Wait a minute, are you saying that Hadassim are more important than the Luv and the Esrog?
No, I said they're more important than the Arovas.
But why not apply the same logic to the Luv and the Esrog? I mean, if you're just counting numbers.
No, because the Arovas have got no smell, got no tar.
So
it's the lowest.
I misunderstood you. I thought.
Therefore, it has to be less number than the Hadassim. And if we already know that Hadassim is three, so then it has to be two. The Arovas has to be two.
I would fight this out with you, Michael, but not now. Okay. In any event, it's very interesting because philosophically, in the philosophical writings, the Arov is given a very, very special treatment. Very special. In fact, if you have the art school, I could bring it in for you. I happen to be a proud owner of the art school Matzor for Sukkos, and it has a very long and intricate introduction, probably 20 pages if I remember correctly. And he has a long section on the Arov. Okay. So Arve Nachal Shtai. Oh, now we get back to Rabbi Shmuel's original position. Afilu Shnayim Ketumim V'Echad She'eino Kot. Okay then? Gemara's not ready to take that up. Now we have in this Brisa Rabbi Tarfon over there. Shlosha, you need three Adasim. And three Adasim we said was derived from the Pasuk from the Pasuk Anaf Eitz Avos. Afilu Shloshtam Ketumim. So in other words, he drops the requirement, as we saw in Rashi, of Hadar, with regard to the Hadassim. Rabbi Akiva Omer Kishem Shalulov Echad the Esrog Echad Kach Hadass Echad V'Arova Achas. And the Ritva comments here that one single Hadass which Rabbi Akiva requires has to be Shalem, it can't be a Kotum. And again, that fits into our pattern that when you lower the quantity, you raise the quality. V'Arova Achas. Okay, and then Rabbi Akiva says, you know, all four minim have to be uniform in the number. He doesn't tolerate the differentiation between one min and the other.
He's not interested in numbers or what the Pasuk says in terms of...
Well, he's saying that there's a hekesh in the Pasuk, meaning the Pasuk has all four minim in one breath. So it's impossible from Rabbi Akiva's point of view to differentiate and say, well, the Torah has all four minim in one sentence, in one verse, and that one requires one, another requires three, another requires two. It's got to be uniform. So Rabbi Akiva waves the banner of what I call uniformity. And it's based on the Hekesh of this Pasuk. Let's just see. Okay, so I don't see anything of importance. Oh, lo, Rabbi Eliezer. Oh. Rabbi Eliezer turns to Rabbi Akiva and he says, wait a minute, there's a certain inconsistency. If you're taking this uniformity philosophy to its ultimate conclusion, then Yochel... If it's uniform and you're learning that a lekachta requires agad and that you tie them all together, then we should tie the esrog together with the other three minim. Again, you'd have to get a larger, you know, al kaishlok wouldn't work, but you'll find some way of getting the esrog in there. In other words, Rabbi Akiva, if you're equating all four minim, why do you separate the esrog from the other three minim in the agad? Now, I'm not sure, again, whether the Gemara now is assuming like Rabbi Yehuda, that Lulav Tzarek Agad, or maybe, you know, we once mentioned a Chiddush in the name of Chaim Brisker, that he held that even the Rabbanan require Agad in some capacity. Rashi says that the Rabbanan have Agad as Zekei Levi Aveyu, but this seems to be a much more than Zekei Levi Aveyu. The Gemara seems to object to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, if you're going to be consistent, then the Esrog has to be inside the Agad. Amarta, so you're going to tell me no. Amarta means you're going to reject this. Why? So the answer is, V'chi nemar pre-eitz hadar v'kapos tmarim. It's so fascinating to me because what the Gemara is saying is that the Vav appears over and over again in this Pasuk, and yet in one particular part of the Pasuk, the Torah drops the Vav. It's missing. And he asks as a rhetorical question, does it say pre-eats hadar vikapos tmarim? Vikapos tmarim would mean addition to or connected with the kapos tmarim, the lulav, meaning the esrog of pre-eats hadar would be connected to the kapos tmarim, the lulav. Valolo nemar ela kapos without a vav. It doesn't say vikapos tmarim. So the esrog is sort of left out. And it's not to be taken together with the lulav, because after the word lulav, which means the kapos tmarim, it says ve anaf eitz avos ve arve nachal. The Torah consistently repeats the vav, so the Torah takes the lulav and connects it together with the hadasim and the aravos, implying that they all three have to be integrated under one agad. But in the case of esrog, the Torah didn't say esrog, meaning creates on the ve. Kapos tomorrow, the vav was left out. So it's interesting, Rabbi Eliezer is willing to tolerate the following split. As far as how many of each min you have to take, we're going to accept the equation, the uniformity principle of the hekesh. But as far as agad is concerned, whether you integrate all four into one unit, here we're going to be very sensitive to the vav, and specifically in this case, the absence of the vav. Why didn't the Torah say pre-eitz hadar ve-kapos tmarim, like it says kapos tmarim ve-arve nachal ve-anaf eitz avos? Why did the vav get omitted? So the answer is to leave the esrog out of the agad. I'm sure this has Kabbalistic implications, you know, why the esrog is not part of the... Yeah, I don't know if that's downgrading the esrog, or on the contrary, maybe that puts esrog on a higher position. I don't know. Now, this is a bit of a strange question. Minayin shema akvim zedzeh means we need all four. I have a suspicion that what the Gemara is implying is that according to you, Rabbi Akiva, that you took the esrog out of the agad. So we see that it's not all four a bust, because the esrog itself is in a separate independent category. It's not part of the agad. So if there's special dinim or separate dinim independent of the other minim that apply to the esrog, then maybe we should say that all four minim are separate mitzvahs. And when the Torah says ulakachtim, it means take an esrog, and that's one mitzvah, take a lulav, that's another mitzvah, take adasim, that's maybe you get four mitzvahs, which would be really cool. You know, I get four mitzvahs for Erev Hashanah, I need as all the mitzvahs I can get. So the Gemara says, Talmud Lomar ulekachtem. Ulekachtem. Okay. So what's ulekachtem? Shetehe lekicha tama. Tama means a perfect lekicha, that you took everything together as one shlemus, as one entity. So Rashi, if you take a look at the word tama, Rashi says, shlema didarish ulekachta tam. Meaning it could have said ulekachta and you shall take. Why did it have to say ulekachtem? So in truth there's only one extra word here in the pasuk, but Rashi's doing a very interesting thing. He's taking the mem that's extra, he's attaching it to the tav at the end of the word, and he's making it into two words, as if the Torah says v'lokachtam, meaning take something that's whole, that's complete, that has all four meanings. Okay? So Rabosai, how much is it worth if you have one out of the four meaning? If you have three out of the four meaning? Worth nothing. Yeah. Zip. And that's called Shetehe Lekicha Tam. Okay. Now the Gemara says, Rabbi Shmuel, Mimonoshach. I don't understand Rabbi Shmuel. How could he maintain that two out of the three of the Adasim Oktumim and one has to be Sholem, Ishlemim Boy, if he rejects Rabbi Tarfon's position? But rather requires hadar, and that's why one out of the three adasim has to be what? Have to be shalem, is liboy nami kulu, then all three should have to be shlemim. Ve'iyim, if on the other hand, loboy shlemim, if Rabbi Shmuel holds that the hadas is outside of the parameters of what? Of the equation of hadar, and there's no requirement of hadar, zafilu chad nami lo. Even one doesn't have to be shalem. Amar Biroi, that's the name of a Chacham. Amar Rabbi Ami, he says the name of Rabbi Chazar, but Rabbi Yishmael. I am so frustrated by this Gemara, I have to tell you. Every time I read this Gemara, I go, oof, I can't understand. So what did Rabbi Yishmael, what was he thinking? You know, you leave me hanging here. You know, you have a Mimonishah. And not only that, Rabbi Yishmael's opinion is recorded in the Mishnah, and it makes absolutely no sense. I can't figure this Gemara out for the life of me. In any event, the bottom line is that Rabbi Yishmael finally rescinded his original position, and he holds, like Rabbi Akiva, that all we need is one hadas, and that one hadas has to be sholem. The other two, as Rashi said in the Mishnah, will come under less than Dami. They're just not shlepers. You just add them on, maybe for noy, I don't know for what.
You do find in the Gemara the people that the rabbis retract their...
Correct, but at least the Gemara analyzes what they were thinking. You know, Meikar Mai Kasover is a classical line in the Gemara, Mahashta Mai Kasover. In other words, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to come up with this Mimonavshach. The Mimonavshach is not some sort of logical, didactic reasoning here. The Mimonavshach says, you're telling me that you do require Adas Shleimim, you don't require Adas Shleimim. And that's the Mimonavshach. I don't have to be, you know, even if I wasn't well trained in Talmudic thinking, there would have to be some logical reason to tell me that two out of the three of Adasim did not have to be Shleimim, and you could have Ketuvim. So what was Rabbi Yishmael thinking? And the Gemara doesn't even bother raising that.
Well, it doesn't raise it because he retracted.
But you don't understand. Michael, Havamina. It's a Havamina of a Tadis. Was he drunk? I'm sorry, I'm getting very dramatic over here. What did he have too much schnapps that morning and he came up? There must have been some logical mechanics over here. You know, you can't tell me that he woke up on the wrong side of the bed and he had an argument with his wife that morning. So he decided, you know what? One out of the three has to be Shleimim and the other two chop off their heads. It's not, Michael, you have to trust me on this. This is not typical. There's something missing. There's a piece of the puzzle missing. Believe it or not, you know, we have 2 days off now. We're not getting together until it's on Yudal. So maybe sometime, if I'm not busy preparing my drushes, you know, I'll take a look and see. I looked around so far, I didn't find anything. You know, what was Rabbi Yishmael thinking? You know, if you and I would say something that's stupid, it's okay, so we're human beings, but for Rabbi Yishmael to be recorded in the Mishnah, and it, you know, there's got to be something that compelled him to that original position. You should know, for example, again, I'm going off on a tangent here, you know, the Rambam wrote his Pirush HaMishnayos when he was 30 years old, and his Mishnah Torah when he was 60. He died a pretty young man before he reached the age of 70. But it's amazing what he accomplished in his lifetime. But very often there are contradictions between his Pirush HaMishnayos and his Mishnah Torah. So what would be your response? What would you say? If I found you an absolute contradiction, irreconcilable, between his Pirush HaMishnayos...
He found something during that period of time that made him change his mind.
Exactly, that's what I would have said. He changed his mind. But that's not how my Rebbe would teach us. My Rebbe of Salvation taught us the following. There are two Rishonim. There's the Rambam and the Rambam. They haven't had the same name. And he would analyze this machlokas. That's how I was trained. He would analyze this machlokas no less than he would analyze the machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos, between Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri. In other words, what the Rambam wrote in the Pirush HaMishnayos is also a Rishon. Again, the Rambam has a right to retract it, but it still remains a Rishon. And we're going to spend as much time, as much effort trying to understand the Rambam and Pirush HaMishnayos. We're not going to just cross it out. So I'm just saying that if I apply that methodology here, I should be spending a lot of time trying to figure out what Rabbi Shmuel was thinking. You know, he wasn't drunk that morning. So what was it? I don't know. So far, I don't see anyone enlightening me on that topic. But the bottom line is, let's just review. Rabbi Yishmael holds that all you need is what? All you need is one hadas. And that, in that sense, he confers with Rabbi Akiva. And in addition, he requires that what that single hadas be, sholem, it can't be cut. On Rabbi Yudah Mishmuel Halacha Ki Rabbi Tarfon, which means that we're going to require how many hadasim?
Three
hadasim. Now, again, how far are we going here? Are we taking Rabbi Tarfon hook, line, and sinker? Because we had two different issues here. We had an addition of number, and we had an addition of quality, of hadar, of ketumen. So I'm not sure. At this point, I'm going to raise this as an open-ended question. Is Shmuel accepting Rabbi Tarfon hook, line, and sinker, which means that you don't need shleimim, and ketumen are kosher? And again, that makes a lot of sense in the way we structured the Mishnah, that it's this inverse relationship that I spoke about. Or is he just saying halacha k'mitarfon that you require three adas? I don't know. I'd be inclined to the first approach. The Azda Shmuel Itameh, I'm going to prove to you that Shmuel has already committed himself in a different statement to paskining like Rabbi Tarf. The Onalu Shmuel Ahanum is Dimizavne Asa. Shmuel made the following instruction. We're going to soon see it wasn't just an instruction. He warned them. He picked up his forefinger and he warned them to the Mochre Adas and Dimizavne, they sell Asa. We've already had the word Asa back in the beginning of the parak. Asa means Hadasim. And Rashi fills us in here that the Mochre Hadasim were jacking up the price. Why were they jacking up the price? The law of supply and demand. There was no supply. It was very rare to find Hadasim that were perfect in shape, that were completely shalom. So you see, Rabbo said that the whole sugya revolves not so much about the number of hadasim, but more than that, on the quality of hadasim. You know, you can find a zillion hadasim. They grow all over the place, right? Just go out there to the fields and you'll find hadasim. But how many of them will be perfect? It seems that there was a great percentage or very popular phenomenon that the hadasim were not shleimim, that the top was cut off. So Shmuel gets angry at the Mochre Hadasim for jacking up their price. This reminds me of, I don't know if you're familiar with the Ger Hasidim, were very upset. People were spending so much money on weddings, they were going into hack, and it was keep up with the Joneses. You know, if you're going to spend 40,000 shekel on a wedding, I'm going to have to spend 50,000 shekel, and my lady next door is going to have to spend 70,000 shekel. She's going to have a 5-piece band. Until finally the Ger Rebbe stepped in and he made a takana that you can only spend X amount of money on a wedding. And I'm trying to remember who told me, maybe it was your brother told me, no, somebody told me about Baltimore, that in Baltimore, Rav Heinemann Paskin, that you can only spend up to a certain amount of money on an esrog. And somebody, I think, had an esrog from Eretz Yisrael. He wasn't sure what price he paid for it, whether it was over the limit or not. So Rav Heinemann Paskin, it's possible. You can't use that esrog. Right? That's how far he went. So again, I'm just giving you hearsay. But what I told you about the Ger Chasidim, that I know. So here's a case where Shmuel gets very upset. People can't afford the prices of Hadassim. The Hadassim, the Mochri Hadassim, were jacking up the price because there was no supply of Hadassim Shleimim. So Shmuel warned them. He picked up his finger and he says, "Be low. And if you don't agree to lower your prices, darshino lechu, I'm going to darshin for you. Ki Rabbi Tarfa, that the halach is like Rabbi Tarfa." And the Gemara is assuming that if Shmuel was warning them that I'm going to pass him like Rabbi Tarfa, it means that he held like Rabbi Tarfa. He was using it as a weapon over the head, over their heads. That even if you have hadasim that are ketumim, that are headless hadasim, then they're kosher and you're allowed to use them. So the Gemara analyzes my time. Why did Rabbi Tarfin say I'm going to paskin like? Why did Shmuel say I'm going to paskin like Rabbi Tarf? Elim, if you're going to say mishum demekil, not because Shmuel held the halachas like Rabbi Tarf. You follow the Gemara is going through a logical didactics to prove that it must be that Shmuel held the halach is like Rabbi Tarf. Because if you're going to tell me an alternative, what's the alternative? Ein Achinami in the adversary who's arguing against us, maybe Shmuel never accepted the opinion of Rabbi Tarfon. But you know what? He was looking for the one opinion that's most makil, the most lenient opinion. So Gemara says, Elam Mishum de Mekil, if it's that Rabbi Tarfon is the most cooler, the Lidr Shluka Rabbi Akiva de Mekil Tvei. Yeah, Rabbi Akiva only requires one Adas. And therefore, we must conclude that Shmuel didn't have the option of warning them that we're going to pass them like Rabbi Akiva because he himself held like Rabbi Tarfon. Which means that Rabbi Tarfon requires three Adasim, but albeit they could be headless Adasim, they don't have to be Shleimim. And he warned them that this jacking up the price because there's no supply of Hadasim Shleimim, that's not going to go anywhere. I mean, I would add the following question. You know, this boggles my mind here. If Shmuel held like Rabbi Tarfon, why didn't he just say, Halacha Rabbi Tarfon? What's this whole thing that he warns them that if they don't lower their prices, he's going to darshan that the halacha is like Rabbi Tarfon? If Shmuel passed like Rabbi Tarfon, why didn't he just say so? Why is he hiding behind?
In any event, the Gemara now wants to reject this logic and say that Ein Chinami Rabbi Tarfa, that Ein Chinami Shmuel was not passing like Rabbi Tarfa, and he was looking for the most mekil. Now watch what goes on here. Rabbi Tarfa said that you could use ketubin. Rabbi Akiva said that you need what? You need a shalem. But again, Rabbi Tarfa requires how many adasim? Three. Rabbi Akiva only requires one. So the Gemara is analyzing who's the mekil and who's the machmir in terms of supply. Just a hilchah supply. You know, we're asking financial questions. What's accessible out there in the wild green yonder? Is it easier to get multiple hadasim that are ketumim, or it's easier to get one single hadas that's enokotum, that's shalom? So the Gemara now makes a switch around. The Gemara says, you know what? It's easier tlasok tume shchiche. Out there in the fields, there's a great supply of ketumim. It's very rare, it's very hard to get shlemim. Chad velo kotum, one single hadas, which is shalim, lo shtiach, is less accessible than three adasim, which are ketumim. It's easier to get a hold of three adasim ketumim than it is to get a hold of what? Of one hadas, which is eno kot. So Rabbi said, let me just summarize the bottom line of this Gemara. We don't know how to interpret Shmuel. We thought that Shmuel was saying, you know what? I'm going to dash into the halachas like Rabbi Tarfa because I hold like Rabbi Tarfa. And the Gemara is very sticky about this. The Gemara rejects that. And the Gemara says, no, Shmuel doesn't necessarily pass in halacha like Rabbi Tarfa. Shmuel is just looking for the biggest mekil. And to your surprise, says the Gemara, the biggest mekil is Shmuel, is Rabbi Tarfa, as opposed to Rabbi Akiva. Why is Rabbi Tarfa the biggest kula? Because he allows ketubim. I don't care how many allows, even if we would ask you for 100 of them, but they're ketubim. And there's a multitude of ketubim out there. There's just many, many ketubim out there. Rabbi Akiva, even though he only requires one hadas, but since he requires shalem and not katum, that's a gevaldig chumra, and Shmuel warns them that he's going to paskin like the mekil. Not because he holds like the mekil. Now, here's my question to you, and with this we'll conclude the shiur for today. And I'll wish you all a good Gemara Kesima, Kesima, Kesima Toivim. I don't understand, if Shmuel doesn't paskin like Rabbi Tarfa, what kind of bluff is this? How can he warn them and say, you know what? I'm going to dash in Allah like Rabbi Tarfa. What do you mean? What is this, sheker? What about far sheker tircha? Oh, excellent.
What
did
you say?
Shasadchak. Which means what? Shasadchak means that with regard to the Dalet Minim, we find something very unique that we've never seen elsewhere. And that is the rules and regulations and requirements for the Dalet Minim drop in a situation of Dchak. And I'm just going to embellish what Michael's saying and I'll let you go. If the prices are too high, you're going to run everyone out of the market. At the end of the day, the whole mitzvah is going to go down the tubes. Nobody can afford these prices. And therefore, we're going to look for the biggest mekil. The Rishonim is saying, that's how we pass in the Shulchan Aruch, that if it's a shasat chak, you can take even a lulav hayavish. I remember my Rebbe said once that his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, paskin after the World War I, that it was so difficult to get dalet minim that he allowed them to take psulim. And as long as it was a min. So it could be that this is the principle that the Rush mentions, which is called Masra Nakasim L'Chachamim, that the Torah doesn't tell you exactly what the requirements are for each one of the dalet minim. It sort of hands it over, he throws the ball into the court of the Chachamim, and they'll decide. So they may have two different standards. You know, it could be that Shmuel holds, if all things are ideal and equal, no ketubim are allowed. But in the case, say Shmuel, where the prices are going up so high, skyrocketing, as my father used to say about Matzah Shmura, he says the prices of Matzah Shmura are skyrocketing. Who can afford Matzah Shmura anymore, you know? Especially if you get hand Shmura. Okay, Rabbi Osai, here's where we'll stop. We'll pick up the mission of Mitzvah Shem on Tzom Gedalia. Wish everyone a great deal of Hatzlach of the Philos and the Tkios. And the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah.
Thank you for the
share
today.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, this is not easy, you know. I know you have to...
We have a lot on the agenda today.